Hebrew Bible session one. So what I ended up doing, I finished Exodus and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. I've been wanting to go through this Bible Project classrooms, the introduction to the Hebrew Bible, the origins, the poetry, narrative, and design patterns in the Old Testament. And there's a lot in there, and I kept on wondering, like, hey, how can I add this into, you know, like, in addition to my quote-unquote quiet time? And what I found is that my study of Scripture is the time that I have set aside to study Scripture, not necessarily a time that is, it's going to change over the years, and it's going to change by the seasons. So I decided that I have not set aside the time to do this another time, and so now is the time. So instead of doing chapter by chapter through the Old Testament, I'm switching to going through this Hebrew Bible class where they're walking through a bunch of questions. This one was just the introduction. We got to hear Tim Mackey's story and how he grew up just with a little bit of exposure to the Bible, and then in his 20s, he heard a lot about Jesus when he was kind of forced to listen to these guys that would show up at his skate park and tell stories of Jesus, and he was intrigued by Jesus, and so he'd go and he'd start reading the Bible, and he would just read those parts, the parts about Jesus, because Jesus is so compelling. He would heal people, and he would do miracles, and he would teach things like love your enemies. And then they killed him for it. And that's really compelling. But then, you know, you can see that Jesus and the other apostles, you know, the New Testament points very, very strongly back to the Old Testament. And he would go back and read it, and it was really confusing and entertaining and repulsing, to be honest. And I agree with him on that. I grew up with reading a lot of the Bible. I grew up reading through the Old Testament, and there's a lot of confusing things. I feel like I got some cursory explanation for why things are the way they are, but I don't think I got a very big overview, you know, like how it was all put together and why it is the way it is. So this is really interesting because he talked for a little bit, and then he went around the room. He had, you know, a bunch of different students in there talking about how they grew up and how they viewed the Bible. And how there's this tension between trying to either oversimplify it or try and apply our modern culture and understanding to the Bible, which then takes the Hebrew Scriptures out of context. Or if we try and take it completely in context, then we say, well, what relevance does it have for me now? They talked about some coping strategies that we end up having on the Bible. The hero example model, where we basically take a story and we basically go, oh, here's a hero and they're the good guy. And we oversimplify it, but we have to rewrite a lot of the character and remove a lot of their failures in order to make them the hero of the story. Which, you know, reminds me, that's the Greek hero stories. So we take somebody like Samson, and then we boil him down to a strong man who had a failure, who overcame, and we take out all the sex scenes, and we take out all of the spitting in God's face. We take out the story of God while we're trying to make a hero out of a person. I'm embellishing a little bit, you know, telling my part of it. Not all of this was in the class. The second one is a theological answer book model, where we have this idea or a theology thing, and then we go and find and kind of build together an illustrated dictionary of answering those theological questions. And I want to be clear, there are heroes in the Bible, there are examples to follow, there are real life things to look at, and in the same way, there are theological answers to be found in the Bible. The problem with using it only as a theological answer book is that different people with different backgrounds will go and they'll they'll arrange different stories and pieces to come to different conclusions. And we need to be careful of that and look at the Bible as a whole, not as a grab bag in any fashion, whether it's for theology or for the next one. This next one is the inspirational heartwarming model, where we take things very, very out of context, a verse here, a chapter there, a story here, and we use them to make ourselves feel better. And that's very much not what it's for, and that's not, I mean, taking things that far out of context is really, has bothered me a lot. And there are a lot of verses that are very encouraging, but they are, I think, many of them are more encouraging when they're taken in context, not ripped from their context and used to apply to my life, because that's, I don't know, if you look underneath that, then you find out that there's no foundation to it. That has the potential to be earth-shattering, and I'd like to not set up myself or my kids or people around me to have that kind of disappointment when there's something much more rich and deep and something that draws us to the heart of God. One of the students pointed out that she's in seminary, and there's a whole gamut of people in this thing sitting around this table, and she said to me, when you're digging through the Old Testament, one of the things that a lot of people do is they spend all of their time searching for Jesus in the Old Testament, and you can find a lot of things that point to Jesus, and that's good. We should do that, but let's be careful not to lose finding Yahweh, the Father, when we're reading the Old Testament, because God is the same in the Old Testament as He is in the New Testament. The only time that we see this difference of like, an angry, judging God and a loving, gracious God, there in the New Testament, that's not an honest reading of the Old and New Testaments. Jesus spent a lot of His time warning about the coming wrath of God, and He had compassion for His enemies. But if you read in the Old Testament, Yahweh, God, the Father, is doing the same. He has compassion on many for a long time. But there's also justice, and there's also defending the weak. And that is true in the Old and New Testament. It's the same God. And so trying to learn and understand and grow in our understanding of God the Father while reading the Old Testament is really important. Do not forget that. It was kind of summed up with this question quote at the end that I really, really like, because I feel like this captures a lot of how people approach the Old Testament in general. It's by D.L. Baker. And he said, "One of the most fundamental questions which has faced theology and the church in every age is whether or not Christianity also needs an Old Testament. Is the Old Testament to be thrown away as obsolete, preserved as a relic from the days of yore, or treasured as a classic and read by scholars, or occasionally as a change from the New Testament, or kept in a box in case it should be needed someday? Or is the Old Testament an essential part of the Christian Bible, with continuing validity alongside the New Testament?" And I mean, I think he very clearly points to that last question. Is the Hebrew Bible has relevant, continuing validity alongside the New Testament? The authors of the New Testament pointed back to Genesis, Exodus, Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel. Like Daniel. They pointed back to the stories of David, the stories of Moses, the stories of Joseph. It was the whole, all of it, is telling the story of God's redemption of humanity, and what his plan is, and how He works with people, through example, and we can't trivialize it, we can't turn it into our own handbook of theology, and we can't take things out of context just to make ourselves feel better. It's complex. And it's good, and we can't just ignore it. And so that's why I've been studying Hebrew. That's why I'm so excited about taking this class, and here we are. So if that's not what you signed up for on this, feel free to skip these ones and listen to some other ones when I get back into another book. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this study goes and how it draws me more and more into the Word of God, how it makes me more and more thirsty for studying the Bible, and knowing my Father and knowing Jesus.